Now let's continue on with our redemption of Israel at the beginning of the millennium. Let's come back here to Jeremiah 30 again, and let's pick up just a couple of verses toward the end of the chapter. Verse 22, Jeremiah 30. And this is going to really be something here. Verse 22, "And you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now they're going to see all the things that take place. They're going to live through it. So this is going to be absolutely marvelous for them. "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord's wrath goes forth, a sweeping whirlwind. It shall whirl on the head of the wicked." Going to get rid of all the wicked. They're not going to be around. They're either going to repent or it's over with. "The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he has done it, until he has fulfilled the purposes of his heart." And the purposes of his heart are enumerated in his word for us to know. Not all of them. Of course not. But what we do know, okay? Now the last sentence here. "In the latter days, you shall understand it." Now come here to chapter 31. Chapter 31 is really quite a chapter because we're going to be part of this bringing them back. "At that time," verse 1, chapter 31, book of Jeremiah, says the Lord, "I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord. The people who were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness." They're going to survive it. "Even Israel, when I will go to give him rest." And we're going to see that the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is called a rest. There's going to be a rest from enemies, a rest from sin, a rest from the evils of carnal nature, because we're going to see that God is going to give them a new heart, convert them. Verse 3, "The Lord has appeared to me from afar, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love." So the whole millennium is going to be based upon the love of God. And you know, that is going to be so magnificent, so great. And of course, we know the greatest of everything is love, and that God is love. We understand that. But just think what this is going to be for the whole world, beginning first with Israel. "I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again put on your drums and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things." That's going to be awesome, isn't it? Now we're going to see that God is going to change the whole way that the world is set up. And wonder what the world is going to be like without deserts. Think of that. Think how many people physical people can live on the earth if all the desolate areas of the earth were habitable. Billions and billions and billions and billions. See, God has a great plan, so fantastic. And we have a part of understanding the very beginnings of it. And we are going to all be integral parts in carrying out the plan of God for all mankind, beginning with Israel. Verse 6, "For there shall be a day that the watchman on Mount Ephraim shall say, Arise, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob. Shout among the chief of the nations. Cry out. Give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel." That's going to be the message, and God is going to do it. He's the only one that can bring salvation. He is the only one with his family. That's why we are in God's family. That's why God the Father is our Father, and Jesus Christ is our older brother, and we are friends, and we are going to rule with God. See, now, you think about that every time things start getting tough for you, and you think about that every time you start getting discouraged, and you think about it and pray about it and realize that, yes, it will happen. Here's what's going to occur. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the corners of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child and she who is in labor with child. Together a great company shall return there. And they're going to become coming repenting, thanking God. Great relief that the trouble is over, that the wars are over, that the evil is done, that Satan has been bound. Verse 9, they shall come with weeping and with prayers I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. They shall not stumble in it, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Think about that, how wonderful that is going to be, brethren. And we're going to help Christ do this. That is absolutely astounding. See, maybe this will help you understand why God hates religion, because it's a counterfeit for the truth, and why God has such a great plan that we need to be looking forward to it and anticipating it greatly. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. What did we read in Revelation, the second chapter? We're going to shepherd them. Christ is going to teach us. We're going to know what to do. And isn't this going to be something? The greatest and most wonderful calling that there can be. All right. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and has ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than him. Therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not pine away any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and older together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and will make them rejoice from their affliction. That is going to be absolutely marvelous. Think of that, brother. You know, this is just astounding. And notice what will happen here. Verse 4, and I will fill the soul of the priest with fatness. That's us. That doesn't mean we're going to gain weight. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to lose weight either. But nevertheless, this means of all the good things of God. And we're going to be what? Kings and priests and reign with Christ. Yes. Okay. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. So that's quite a thing for us to understand. Okay. Come over here to the next page and let's come to verse 31. Let's see how God is going to bring all this about. All right. Verse 31. There's going to be a new covenant established. This will be the millennial covenant with Israel. Now, we have the new covenant for this age that we will be resurrected and changed into the very sons and daughters of God at the resurrection. That's the new covenant established with Christ for the church. But this is the new covenant which God will establish when the millennium begins, beginning with Israel. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their inward parts and write them in their hearts. Now that's conversion. See, today, they are hard-hearted. They are stubborn. They are rebellious. They reject the word of God. But here, the very thing that they rejected, they are going to gratefully receive and love. Write my law, put it in their heart, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then something is going to take place. Notice verse 34. And they shall no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And from the smallest to the oldest, all know God. Think of what the world is going to be like then. Everyone converted. Everyone filled with the Spirit of God, loving God, worshiping God. And here we are, we're teaching them. And think what every Sabbath is going to be like, you know, and whatever the set up the villages will be, or whatever the cities will be, whatever they will be, there will be buildings on so many corners. The communities are going to be completely different than they are today. Use the buildings for Sabbath services. Use the same building for teaching. They're going to be taught God's way. And yes, they are going to know more about science and technology and things like that than we have today. But it's going to be in right measure and used the right way, not used to destroy people and make war. No, it's going to be something. Here's what he's going to do. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Now that is going to be really a fantastic thing. Now then, God guarantees that he's going to do it. Notice how God bound himself with this. Verse 35, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea when its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Quote, if those ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be searched out, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. So there's a guarantee. It's going to happen, and he wants us there to do it. Think about that. Now let's come to Ezekiel 36. Let's see also where it talks about there, Ezekiel 36, where it also talks about their repentance. Now let's pick it up here in verse 24. Verse 24, Ezekiel 36. All right, let's go up to verse 22. Okay? God is going to forgive them. He's going to call them. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. Now, this is to help them to repent, see. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their very eyes. That's why he is going to save Israel first, so the rest of the nations can see what God is going to do. And I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and will gather you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. Great conversion. Just think what society is going to be like with that. What a wonderful thing that's going to be. Even greater than the greatest thing that we can have in the church. Because it's going to be universal. All the children of Israel. Verse 28. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and will increase it, and will lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruits of the tree and the increase of the field, so that you shall never again receive the curse of famine among the nations. And you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes, they're going to. That's going to be something, isn't it? That is breathtaking. Verse 32. I do not do this for your sake, says the Lord God. Be it known to you, be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquity, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the waste land shall be filled instead of being desolate before all who pass by it. All the waste places of the world will be made habitable for people. Productive. That's going to be something. And the wasteland shall be tilled instead of being desolate before all who pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. So we go back to what God originally intended. There it is, right there. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities now are fenced and inhabited. And the nations that are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet be sought by the house of Israel to act for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as a holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So that's really a tremendous thing. And then notice, we'll come to this later, on the last great day. The next chapter is about the second resurrection, because the question is going to come about, Lord, you've done this for us. What about all of our ancestors who have died? All right. let's go forward and continue with what we're doing here. Let's see how all of these things are going to be accomplished. Let's come back here to Isaiah chapter 58. A lot of things that in the book of Isaiah. Matter of fact, you could say much of Isaiah is really a document about the coming millennium of God, full of prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, full of things that have never yet been done. So, you know, pick out some of these scriptures, and if you have some Protestant friends around, just say, okay, well, tell me about the Old Testament. Oh, well, you don't have to worry about that anymore because, you know, that's all been fulfilled. Really? And then bring out some of these scriptures. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. All right? Verse 8. Then shall your light break out as the dawn, and your health shall spring out quickly, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call. Now notice the communication here. Prayers. Notice. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. And that's what we'll do too, because we will help fulfill all their prayers. If you take the yoke away from among you and the pointing of the finger and the speaking of malice, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your gloom shall be as the noonday. That's what we're going to tell them. That's all part of repenting of their sins. Verse 11, and the Lord shall always guide you and satisfy your soul in dry places and make your bones fat. That means the fat of the marrow of the bones is going to be producing life within you. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And those who come of you shall build the old ruins. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Then it talks about keeping the Sabbath. You talk about Sabbath keeping during the millennium. Wow, that is really going to be something, isn't it? Yes, indeed, teaching, it's going to be, we're going to have our presence there. We're going to be teaching. Just think what it's going to be like. It's going to be totally different than what we have today. Hey, we can look forward to that. All right. Now, let's come over here to chapter 60. Chapter 60, right down to the bottom of the page. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Coming out of all the clutches of Satan, the devil, and evil, and now building, which is going to last 1,000 years because God said so. And it's going to be a great and wonderful time. Now, this is the way it was before. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Well, this is including the priests and kings, the sons of God and the daughters of God at that time, and kings to the brightness of your coming. Lift up your eyes all around and see. All of them gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall throb and swell for joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall turn to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now, isn't that something? Now, remember, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings of the people as well. Now think about that. Think about all of those things. It's going to be an amazing thing indeed. Okay. Let's continue on here. Verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up your walls, and their kings shall serve you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my grace I have had mercy upon you. Therefore, your gates will always be open, and they will not be shut by day nor night, that men may bring unto you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in possession, procession rather. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you. Now, this is talking about those of us as kings and priests. The nation or kingdom that will not serve you, yes, those nations shall be completely wasted. Wow. So God is going to enforce his authority here, isn't he? All right. Let's come over here to verse 15. Instead of being forsaken and hated so that no one passes through, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. You will also suck the milk of the nations, suck the breast of kings. Now, this is poetically speaking, to receive the richest and the blessings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, let's look and see what kind of economy that there is going to be. Nothing like we have today. Verse 17, for bronze I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood I will bring bronze, and for stones iron, and I will make your overseers to be peace and your rulers to be righteousness. That's us. We're going to be the overseers, and we're going to be the rulers, and teaching them. Now notice this, verse 18. Violence, which is all there is in the world today in many places, and in particularly on television, violence will no more be heard in your land, neither wasting nor ruin within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now, there can also be some of these things that are alluding to the coming New Jerusalem and new heavens and earth as well. So you see, the Word of God is so deep and so rich and has so many things in it that there it just goes on and on and on and on. All right, verse 19. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you for an everlasting light and your God your glory. Now that has to be getting into New Jerusalem right there at that particular point. Your sun will no more go down, nor your moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be ended. Isn't that something? And when you stop and think about it, in spite of all the suffering, in spite of all of the evil, in spite of all the problems and difficulties, wars and sickness and disease and death, isn't that what people really, really long for? They want peace. They desire goodness. But it flees away from them because of the evil that abounds in this age. Your people will all be righteous. They will inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, so that I may be glorified. The smallest shall become a thousand, and the least one a strong nation. For I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Ooh, isn't that something? Think about that, brethren. And this, we're going to be an integral part of it. All right. Come down here to verse 4, chapter 61. This is really magnificent here. Now, this applies to us as well as to Israel. And they will build the old wastes, and they will raise up the desolations of former times. They shall repair the waste cities, and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the strangers will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Now, verse 6 applies to us. What we are going to be doing, see, because everything that we read of that is going to happen to Israel, we are going to bring it about with the instructions from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Notice verse 6. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord, and it will be said of you, the ministers of our God, we will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and you will boast in their glory. For your shame, you will have double. For all the difficulties and problems that we go through, we'll receive double in blessings. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their own land, they will possess double. Everlasting joy will be theirs. So that's something. Oh, what a time that is going to be. Absolutely. All right. Now, let's come to Micah. Micah, the fourth chapter, and let's see what's going to happen here. This gives us an overview. Micah, the fourth chapter, we have Jonah, then Micah. Micah, the fourth chapter, Micah 4 and verse 1. Here's what's going to happen. God has to bring this about. Verse 1. But it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, remember where we started? He has to break that grip that was weaved over this earth, referred to as this mountain. Okay? Now, the mountain of the Lord, see, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains above all nations, above all the governments that will be there, because they will be all under God, under Jesus Christ, and under the saints. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. They're going to desire to learn the way of God because they'll understand that eternal life will be the result of the end of their lives. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now here's what he's going to have to do. See, he works first with Israel, then the rest of the nations. Some of them will willingly come. Some will not. Just like we saw at the beginning, that if they don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they're going to have a plague come upon them or withholding of rain. Verse 3. He shall judge among many people and will rebuke strong nations afar off. Now, what is that rebuke going to be like? Well, what are the weapons of God? Well, power, earthquakes, weather, sickness, disease. See, right at the start of the millennium, there are going to be some that are not going to want to submit to the government of God. And they shall, they're going to learn, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Think of that. And that's all that this world has experienced and gone through. War after war after war after war. I mean, think about it in our lifetimes. World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the war in Iraq, all of the small little wars, so-called little wars, but when there are wars, people die. So they're going to learn that. And here's what they're going to be. There will be property rights, but they shall sit each one under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God is going to guarantee it. All right. Now let's come back to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And let's see where it says that his rest is going to be glorious. Now think what it is going to be like. Now my mind wanders on this every once in a while. What is it going to be like with 1,000 years of what we have just described here? And we've only just begun. All right? Isaiah 11. Now, this talks about how everything's going to be carried out in the millennium. And it has to start with Christ. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of understanding and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears, but with righteous judgment he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. Everything is going to be this way. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Now, that's how he's going to get them to beat their spears into pruning hooks and their swords into plowshares and so forth. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Also the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. See, because with the sin of Adam and Eve, the whole earth was cursed. The environment, the nature of animals. Now, it's all going to be changed and brought back to the original that God created. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, how's that for some fine pets? Boy, oh boy, think of that. That's going to put all the toy companies they are going to be around. See, everyone's going to have the real thing. Want a lion? All right, you better learn how to take care of it. And a cow and a bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I don't know if he's going to get a new set of teeth or not. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. But in spite of all of that, notice verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And so he's saying, all people, all animals of all kinds are going to be changed and be peaceful. In all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So that's something. That's what the millennium will be like. So just as we're starting out the Feast of Tabernacles with how the millennium is going to start, we'll continue on tomorrow and see how everything progresses in the way that God wants it to. And remember, this will be your life. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.